I remember sort of sitting back one day and saying, gosh, I'm a teacher, I'm 25. I could be a widow at 25. Because in those days, so many people got married at 21 or 22. I actually could be a widow with maybe three children, and it would be quite acceptable for me to rear them on my own. So I said, I'm going to fight tooth and nails, and it is right for me to keep him. Because it was a huge, it was a very difficult decision, definitely the most difficult decision I've ever made in my life. I mean, I went through 9 months of pregnancy, preparing for adoption as well. But I had quite a lot of complications after the birth of Peter. He got gastroenteritis when he was 9 days old. He was supposed to go out to the cottage home in Dunleary, which was a children's home run by, I suppose, the Church of Ireland, with some funding from various church groups, some funding from the Eastern Health Board, which was the sort of the forerunner of the HSE. So I was supposed to bring him out to the cottage home and leave him there until he was adopted. But he became ill, and he couldn't go there. And I remember going back to visit him in the hospital. He spent most of that summer kind of in and out of hospital. And meeting a doctor in there at the time, and I think I was sort of holding this child and feeling a bit weepy. He was probably about a month old, and I sort of got a lecture from her about, you know, what's this woman doing, what's happening. She just was not very pleasant. And likewise, when I had him in James's, which was St. Stephen's at the time, the nurses were very kind, and, you know, the majority of people were lovely. But I remember one particular doctor coming in, and I had a weepy moment as well. And again, I got a lecture, and it was basically, I don't want to see you coming back here again. I've seen people like you arrive back a year later. People were judgmental. I mean, I suppose there were a lot of people who didn't say anything, probably a lot of double standards as well, you know, polite to your face, but critical behind your back. It was very much a society for married couples. You were seen as just being very different if you were on your own. Well, I think there was a great sense of relief when I decided to keep Peter. Now, he had more hospitalisation during the first year. He discovered he had celiac disease and ended up in Harcourt Street. I must say the cottage home were extremely supportive to me. And he came out of Harcourt Street, and he had to live in the cottage home for a while, and I had a flat in Dunleary. I used to go in and out to see him. Eventually I found accommodation. It was extraordinarily difficult to find accommodation in those days. And I remember living in a flat near the main street in Dunleary, and I took him out for a night. My sister was sharing with me. I said, I'll just take him out and see how he got on. And next day, anyhow, that I hadn't discussed the matter with the landlord. Next day, anyhow, he said, well, it's nothing to do with the child, but really, you know, it's not on having a child around here. And then I had a situation in another place where he was still in the cottage home, and I was taking him out in the afternoons when I came home from school. And obviously one older tenant, but he passed a comment to me like, who's this little boy? And I said, well, he's my child. So you've been playing around. And I really felt so disgusted and so belittled. That was, and a week later then, the landlady came along and told me I would have to go. So eventually I found a really nice flat and a landlord and landlady who were accepting. So this was a big turning point. I became involved at the very beginning. I read a short article in the Irish Times about a group of mothers, unmarried mothers, who've been getting together. And I said, gosh, this is wonderful. I've been waiting for this. Peter was about four and a half at the time. And I was longing to meet another single mother who was, you know, going out to work, rearing her child and coping. And I said, this is fantastic. So I set off on a Wednesday evening on two buses, and sort of walked up the Kimmage Road, an area I'd never been in before, and found Maura's lovely little house. Somehow I expected to meet a young woman who was living with her family, because this area all sort of conjured up family living, not a single woman on her own with a child. So I met this very warm and friendly woman who was holding the meeting in her small house. But Margaret was there, Colette O'Neill, and a few others, I can't remember. Oh, I think there was another Margaret Murphy who used to be a social worker in James's Hospital. And I had met her when I'd given birth to Peter, as I had him in James's Hospital, which used to be known as St. Stephen's Hospital in the old days. And I'd gone there because I was a teacher, and I reckoned if I went to a place like St. Stephen's, I wouldn't meet anyone I knew. And I managed to get a single room. I think the single rooms were for people who had infectious disease or something. And they said, well, if it's free, you can have it. So that was my first contact. For the first time sort of in my life, I was meeting people who had this experience of getting pregnant outside marriage and dealing with the social issues, dealing with family situations, not being accepted maybe by their family, having huge difficulties with accommodation. We all felt that if we got together, we had quite a role to play. And people came from all walks of life. And I got to know quite a number of single mothers around the time. And I succeeded in getting childcare for them in the cottage home, because at that time it was solely kind of a Protestant home. And I remember going to Anne Burris, who was the matron, and I telling her about church and what was happening, and she was very, very interested. You know, this sort of whole religious thing went out of it, and I some of them, I think, got funding through the Eastern Health Board and that sort of thing. So I was delighted. I felt that was an achievement on my part, that this children's home was there for other people to use. I think there were mixed feelings. I mean, some people saw us as being very brave and very courageous, and others, I think, were, some people maybe were a bit threatened. Some people felt, gosh, if this is going to happen, you'll be encouraging people to get pregnant and keep the children. It would be seen as being a perfectly sensible thing to do. We all had a common goal. But we have to remember, we owe a great tribute to Maura O'Dea, because she was confident, articulate. Her house was used as an office. She had to wear a carol. She had to share her house with people who were coming and going. And then there was this big bag of clothes in the hallway that people dug into. And, you know, she was so involved. Her phone was constantly ringing. She wrote letters. She met people. She was quite fearless, really, but always very much above board, and felt that we must be very careful of our image and to be forward-thinking.